Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Tuesday, April 5th, day 22 of 9/11 on trial. I'm Lisa Giuliani, and you're watching Wing TV.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We'd like to extend a big thank you to Voices of Central Pennsylvania. This is a monthly publication that comes out in our hometown, and yesterday they ran a review of 9/11 on trial. We have to tell you, this review was excellent. It was written by a man named Tom Comita, and he got it. He knows exactly what we're trying to say, and his review was excellent. And after he talked about the burning jet fuel and the melting steel and the explosions and WTC-7 and the controlled demolition and so forth, he had a classic line in here that sums up everything we're trying to say about the government's official version of events. He wrote, "The government account appears to play highly on ignorance and little on reality." What could better sum up the entirety of 9/11 on trial than that line? Is that's what we're trying to convey so much during this trial, is that their account has so many holes in it that it's child's play. And as you've seen throughout this trial, we're blowing a hole in it. So thank you to Tom Comita and also to Voices of Central Pennsylvania. Very much appreciated on our end.
Absolutely. Today we'll hear from witness number 18, our final witness, who's going to talk about World Trade Center building number 7. Tomorrow we'll hear from Victor with his closing statement. And then the next couple of days we'll discuss the book and take your calls. So let's join Judge Alan Kirkpatrick right now.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your Honor, today we have witness number 18, Eric Winkler, who's going to speak about World Trade Center Building number 7. Thank you very much for being in court with us today. Please state your name for the record.
Eric Winkler.
And Mr. Winkler, question number 1. One of the most neglected aspects of 9/11 was the collapse of World Trade Center Building number 7. As our final witness in this trial, give us a brief overview of what happened.
Well, at 3 p.m., photos of Building 7 show a few small fires on two floors. CNN and other news agencies have a timeline of events on September 11 and report Building number 7 on fire at 4:10 p.m. At 5:20 p.m., Building 7 collapses.
Okay, and how far away from the Twin Towers was WTC-7?
Building 7 was 355 feet away from the North Tower, and still further away from the South Tower.
Okay, what is the official reason given by the government for WTC-7's collapse?
According to the FEMA report, debris from the collapse of the World Trade Center also initiated fires in surrounding buildings, including World Trade Center 4, 5, 6, and 7, 90 West Street, and 130 Cedar Street. Many of the buildings suffered severe fire damage, but remained standing. However, two steel frame structures experienced fire-induced collapse. World Trade Center number 7 collapsed completely after burning unchecked for approximately 7 hours.
Okay, if the first reports of fire in WTC-7 were at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like you said, and it fell at 5:20 in the afternoon, how much elapsed time is that?
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Right. So, in your opinion, is there a great deal of discrepancy between 7 hours, like FEMA said, and 2 hours and 20 minutes?
Indeed there is.
And how does FEMA say that WTC-7 fell?
Studies of World Trade Center number 7 indicate that the collapse began in the lower stories, either through failure of major load transfer members located above an electrical substation structure, or in columns in the stories above the transfer station.
Okay, very good. Before we get to the actual collapse of this building, let's examine FEMA's claim that the fire in WTC-7 burned unchecked for 7 hours. Is this statement truthful?
No. The fire in Building 7 was supposedly so extreme that it caused a steel building to crumble. However, all photos show only a few fires and only a few windows, and only tiny amounts of smoke were reported.
Okay, what do you make of this dramatic discrepancy in the FEMA report?
I would think a fire of that magnitude necessary to collapse a steel building would have set fire to a lot of office furniture, carpeting, and other flammable objects.
And what would this have done?
This, in turn, would have caused a lot of flames to be visible in a lot of windows. I also suspect that a large fire would have caused many windows to shatter.
Well, does any of the photographic evidence show this happening?
No. How could an incredible fire burn a building without any photos showing evidence of large flames or tremendous plumes of smoke? There is no evidence of any raging fire. Every photo taken of Building 7... Reports show only a few tiny fires in a few windows, primarily on 7 and 12.
Okay, and how would you ultimately describe these fires?
The fires in Building 7 were so small that you could roast marshmallows on them safely.
Okay, now has the government produced photographs of a raging inferno at World Trade Center Building Number 7?
Still photos or video footage of World Trade Center engulfed in flames are curiously hard to find.
And how about right before it collapsed?
Photos of the building taken not long before the collapse of the building reveal only small pockets of fire that were confined to two floors.
Okay, and did the FEMA report contain photos of WTC-7? And if so, what did they show?
The FEMA report contains photos of Building 7 that were taken shortly after the collapse of the North Tower.
So this would have been approximately 10:30 in the morning?
Yes.
And what do these photos show?
Photos show a small amount of damage to the exterior of the building as a result of flying debris.
Okay. And the fires only broke out at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, is that right?
Yes. FEMA has no idea how this small amount of damage started fires inside the building.
Okay, well, we've learned from previous testimony that never before in the history of the world has a steel building collapsed due to fire. But at least with the Twin Towers, there was the added element of jetliners crashing into them. Did aircraft of any kind hit WTC-7 on the morning of 9/11?
No.
And what can we derive then from this fact?
The collapse could not be partially explained by the impact and fuel of an airplane. So World Trade Center 7 would be the first steel-framed building in history to collapse solely from fire damage.
Yet the fires were so small as to be insignificant. Is that correct?
Yes.
Should this anomaly be important to people?
This event would be... excuse me. This would be an event of overwhelming importance.
Why do you think so?
Everything that architects and building engineers have long assumed about steel-framed buildings would be rethought. Insurance companies around the world would need to recalculate all their rates on the basis of the realization that ordinary fires could cause steel-framed buildings to collapse.
Okay, yet how does the government view this outrageously inexplicable situation?
The idea of the World Trade Center 7 collapse due to fires has been accepted as if it were nothing unusual.
What do you mean? How so?
In an essay entitled World Trade Center Number 7, The Improbable Collapse, Scott Lowery says, FEMA's nonchalance about World Trade Center Number 7's collapse is stunning. Structural fires of this magnitude do not normally take place. Do we now live in an era where tall steel buildings can collapse in cities without any significant discussion? Why?
Yeah. Okay, some people may not even be concerned with this building, but did WTC-7 have any special significance?
Yes, indeed. Housed on the 23rd floor of the building was Mayor Giuliani's Office of Emergency Management.
Which was?
It's a state-of-the-art command center designed to serve as a base of operations during times of crisis.
Okay, very well. Was this command post being manned on the morning of September 11th?
The command center was monitoring the situation in Lower Manhattan. At least until...
Until what?
Until the personnel staffing the center received an order to evacuate.
Do we know who ordered this evacuation?
One of the officials manning the command center that day told filmmakers from the History Channel that, to this day, we don't know who gave that order.
Okay? If this building had been raging for 7 hours, as FEMA claims, where were the firemen?
The fire chief decided, for some unknown reason, not to have his crew enter this building.
Can we confirm this?
Yes. Tom Franklin, the photographer who took the famous Iwo Jima flag-raising photo on September 11th, was near Building 7 at about 4 p.m. In his description of how that photo came about, he makes an interesting remark about Building 7. Firemen evacuated the area as they prepared for the collapse of Building 7.
And what do you gather from this comment?
Franklin's remarks show that somebody told the firemen by about 4 or 5 to stay away from Building 7 because it was going to collapse.
Okay, and this was before. Do you find this odd, especially since all the evidence points to the fact that only small fires were burning inside this structure?
What evidence would anyone have that Building 7 would collapse? Considering that no fire had ever caused a collapse of a steel building before, why would anybody believe Building 7 would crumble from only a few tiny fires? Who were those people who told the firemen to stay away?
Is there any other evidence that firemen were deliberately pulled from what appeared to have been a very minor, manageable fire?
In September 2002, PBS aired a documentary about construction of the World Trade Center complex that was entitled America Rebuilds.
Okay, who or what was featured in this documentary?
In this one-hour documentary, Larry Silverstein, owner of the World Trade Center complex, spoke about the tumultuous events on 9/11.
Okay, and what specifically did he say about WTC-7?
Larry Silverstein said, "I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, we've had such a terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse."
Now, this is very important. Did he mean that they wanted to pull firemen from the scene or pull the building down, which is a common term for a controlled demolition?
According to Dave McGowan in 9/11 Revisited, many researchers have suggested Silverstein admitted on public television that he and the New York Fire Department made a joint decision to bring World Trade Center 7 down in a controlled demolition. This is a particularly nasty line of disinformation because it casts the New York Fire Department, universally viewed, and rightfully so, as the heroes of 9/11, as co-conspirators in bringing the building down. It is perfectly clear from the context of Silverstein's statement that he was not suggesting that the building be brought down, but rather the firefighting operations be suspended. The terrible loss of life he referred to was obviously the loss of scores of firefighters in the Twin Tower collapses, and his point was that it wasn't worth putting any more firefighters at risk, particularly in a building that had long since been evacuated. In what parallel universe would a building owner casually suggest to the fire department that his building be brought down in a controlled demolition, as if it were a thing that can be engineered on the spot? And how exactly would collapsing an intact building save lives?
Very well said. In your opinion, then, what do you feel Silverstein meant by this revealing admission?
Again, according to McGowan, far from candidly admitting that he ordered the demolition of World Trade Center 7, what Silverstein was actually doing was lying to explain why no effort was made to control the easily controllable fires that purportedly brought the building crashing down. From my perspective, though, both scenarios, whether it was firefighters being pulled from the building or the building being pulled down, are inexplicable.
Why do you feel that way?
Even photos of Building 7 show only a few tiny fires in a few windows. The fires appear so insignificant that I would expect the sprinkler system to have put them out.
Then this wasn't a catastrophic situation that required the firemen to be pulled or the building to be demolished?
The front of Building 7 has some broken windows and other minor damage from falling debris. But the sides and rear of the building have no damage, and only a few fires.
Okay, let's move on now to 5:20 in the afternoon. when WTC collapsed to the ground. Please describe what happened.
It appears from pictures to be a totally conventional demolition. It is nearly impossible to watch video footage of the collapse and fail to recognize it for what it is, a deliberate and perfectly executed controlled implosion.
And Mr. Winkler, how have you reached this conclusion?
There were no huge explosions. The building walls fell neatly upon themselves, and the rubble was cracked and broken, not pulverized.
Okay, are there any specific characteristics that show signs of a controlled demolition?
Yes. In Don Paul and Jim Hoffman's book, Waking Up From Our Nightmare, The 9/11 Crimes in New York City, they explain this 47-story skyscraper, its height about five times its depth, dropped directly into its footprint in a smooth vertical motion.
And what does this mean?
The symmetry of WT7's collapse meant that this building's 58 perimeter columns and 25 central columns of structural steel must have all shattered at almost the same instant.
And how long did it take this building to fall?
Well, Trade Center 7 collapsed in 7 seconds completely.
Wow. Now this means what?
This was a time almost equal to that of unimpeded free fall. World Trade Center 7 hit the ground, reduced to a neat pile of rubble in approximately 7 seconds. Like the Twin Towers, it was virtually a free fall.
Okay, please put this whole scenario into perspective for us.
Okay, if a brick were dropped from 570 feet, the height of Building 7's roof, in a vacuum, it would hit the ground in 5.95 seconds. Thus, the building's falling mass encountered almost no resistance at all, showing that its structure had been destroyed before the fall.
Okay. What other evidence points to a controlled demolition?
A third telltale feature of demolition is the dust that streamed out of the building's upper floors early in its collapse.
Why is this strange?
Because these floors were far removed from the pockets of fire that had been on buildings 7th and 12th floors.
Okay. And where do you believe this dust, as opposed to smoke, came from?
Such streams are typical artifacts of the numerous small explosive charges used in a controlled demolition.
Can we tell anything from the way this building fell?
Yes. A fourth sign of demolition is that WTC-7's roof inverted toward its middle as it collapsed progressed.
And what does this mean?
This inversion and the fact that the mechanical penthouse dropped about a second before the facade indicate that the interior structure of the building was destroyed slightly ahead of the perimeter.
Why would this indicate a controlled demolition?
Well, controlled demolitions are engineered in this manner to make tall buildings implode. Building 7 collapsed, the interior fell first, and that caused the outside of the building to move inward, as if the insides were being sucked in. The result was a very tiny pile of rubble, with the outside of the building collapsing on top of the pile. This is how conventional demolitions operate.
And is there a specific reason why they happen this way?
Yes. As interior mass falls, it pulls the exterior inward.
Were any of the buildings tightly packed around WTC-7 damaged?
One adjacent building was slightly damaged by the collapse of this huge skyscraper. The two buildings closest to World Trade Center 7, the U.S. Post Office building on the left and the Verizon building on the right, were barely touched by the collapse.
Okay, in earlier testimony, it showed that the World Trade Center towers smoldered for months after their collapse. Considering the very minor nature of its fire, was World Trade Center 7 extinguished immediately after it fell?
No. World Trade Center 7's rubble pile continued to smolder for months.
For months. Since I mentioned the Twin Towers, what similarities and differences could be found between their collapse and that of WTC-7?
The vertical symmetry of the destruction of both Building 7 and the Twin Towers could only have been caused by controlled demolitions. The explosive pattern of destruction in the towers, however, indicates a far more energetic process was used to destroy them than was to destroy Building 7. Also, Building 7 collapsed at its bottom, causing it to resemble the demolition of an old-style building. While a lot of concrete was used in Building 7 turned to powder, this building did not break down as though the tower, as thoroughly as the towers.
Okay, very well. Do you have any final thoughts on the collapse of World Trade Center Building Number 7?
Yes. Building 7 was destroyed later in the afternoon. It was never hit by any airplanes, so there's no known reason, besides explosives, for it to have collapsed into rubble.
Okay, my final thought, and we'd like to thank you for appearing today. What are FEMA's final thoughts on WTC-7?
FEMA wrote this matter off by commenting, "The specifics of World Trade Center 7 and how they caused the building to collapse remain unknown at this time."
All right. No further questions, Your Honor.